Accession number 12920, Richard Harland, Reel 3.
Richard Harland, Reel 3.
Some 3 or 4 years ago, Elmer and I were invited to go to Skipton to help to host some German visitors who had come under a town quinning arrangement and were out for the day in the Yorkshire Dales. And we thought, oh, these will be from Dortmund, because they came from Leeds, and Leeds is twinned with Dortmund. But it turned out, in fact, that they were from Siegen, because part of Leeds, Morley, is twinned with Siegen. And not only that excitement, but two of them were actually researching into the history of late Nazi times and early post-war times in Siegen. And I was able to tell them about individuals whom I had known and whom these younger people knew only as historic characters. And more than that, I still had some of the reports and so on that I'd written, and correspondence that I'd kept from those days in Siegen, and was able to supply it to them, and those reports are now in the town archives of Siegen. And among these people whom they knew and had correspondence of was Wilhelm Fries, and he is still alive, I understand, at this day, and still remembers me, which is very wonderful. Well, following that contact with Siegen, we've many other things developed, which Elmer and I have followed up, and we've been to Siegen several times and taken part in their peace demonstrations and so on. But that's another story.
Yes, that will come later, won't it, with Grassington. So now, if I could, if you could take me to your next sort of period of peace activity, which I believe comes in the late 1950s, Richard. If you could sort of fill in quickly that gap.
Yes. Well, in 1954, I married Elmer, and we were just at that time I started a new job in Chelmsford, working for Essex County Council. And that was a time of, there was Suez, of course, and I remember going to a demonstration and a counter demonstration. By the young farmers against the my demonstration in the square outside the Guildhall in Chelmsford, but then the CND came along with the Aldermaston marches. I went on part of one of the Aldermaston marches. That was the bit I remember above all was the enormously impressive walk up Whitehall, where we were asked to keep silent, and everybody kept utterly silent, and it was enormously impressive. But yes, we were within the East Anglian region of CND, and I used to attend the committee meetings, which were held in Cambridge. And I and Elmer established a CND group in Chelmsford, which was enormously active. And we had meetings and posters and all sorts of things. Canon Collins of CND we invited one day, and so on. So that was a very active period. I got into some trouble with my boss, the clerk of the county council, for doing that, and had to. Well, first of all, I had to go a bit easy on it, and then not long afterwards, I got another job, moved up from north to Skipton, to the Craven Water Board, for whom I worked for some years.
Yes. Did this reflect your sort of growing worries about nuclear power? You know, the fact that you felt so strongly enough to set up a CND local organisation in Chelmsford. Were you getting very worried at this stage about the nuclear issue?
No, yes, enormously worried. Elma, along with me, she was expecting her first child, and she was very hung up about the risks of giving birth to a child into the nuclear age. It was a terrible period. We couldn't help being desperately concerned and worried. Before that, if I can go back a moment, I'd previously worked, before we were married, for Lindsay, Lincolnshire County Council, one of the three parts of Lincolnshire. And it became clear there that I couldn't hope for promotion because at that time already I was not prepared to take part in the civil defence organisation. It seemed to me that was merely facilitating the possibility of war, that it made one prepared, or tried to make one prepared, to contemplate the possibility that war could be fought without, and yet the population survive. And I was not prepared to do that at that time. Of course, I think at that time civil defence was almost entirely concentrated on counteracting the results of a so-called enemy attack. And so I saw no line of promotion there, and that's when I moved from Lincoln to Chelmsford. So, all that period I was very aware of these risks of nuclear war.
This is very interesting, you know, you bringing up this very important subject of civil defence, you know, in a nuclear Holocaust sort of situation, because I suppose you in your position in planning would have been, you know, very well aware of the sort of inadequacies of this, actually, for the population. Is that right?
Well, it was so, yes. And I remember, I hope this isn't improper to say this, I remember in Chelmsford, the head of the civil defence organisation of the county resigned while we were so active in CND at that time on account of this same concern that he had. And some of his resignation was attributed to our work, which was rather embarrassing for him and for us and sad for him. But the county clerk didn't like that at all.
So it would seem that your career was very much affected by your feelings about nuclear war. Is that right?
It was. And I think it was, well, I'm sure I know that it was very much with that in mind that I couldn't advance to any top position in the clerk's department without becoming involved in civil defence, because in those days the clerk of the county council inevitably was the civil defence controller. And so at that stage in 1959 I moved into water. I became clerk to the Craven Water Board, which is a fairly very small post and fairly small organisation, but it was I thought it was clean.
Keeping on this topic of civil defence, because it seems to me that it is very important, you know, in the growth of the anti-war movement.
Yes.
And I suppose I'm thinking of things like the government pamphlet which was produced, which I think was called something like Protect and Survive.
Yes, yes.
Was that an important landmark, would you say, for the anti-nuclear? Because I remember there was a response by the peace movement with Protest and Survive.
Yes, I think E.P. Thompson wrote that, didn't he? And that we're going ahead a bit now.
Yes, that is right, if you don't mind.
Yes, certainly.
We're on this topic.
Certainly. And Leeds City Council were, at that time, I suppose, Labour-controlled, and they set up a... they were required by government legislation or regulations to establish an emergency planning department. And within this emergency planning department, they enlisted somebody from the Bradford School of Peace Studies. And one of the productions was a pamphlet, a very effective pamphlet, on the effect of, the potential effect of an atom bomb, a nuclear bomb, on Leeds. That was linked with this this protest and survive pamphlet and movement. Yes, there was a lot of discussion and consciousness at that time about the horrific effects of a nuclear weapon, nuclear explosion on a town. It was enormously part of our lives.
Now, you know, to your CND in Essex and setting up this group.
Yes.
Could you tell me, Richard, you know, what were the relationships like between a local CND branch and the national? The sort of links and help you would have had from the centre?
I think, we worked through the Cambridge Committee, I think. We were very much alive to the Canon Collins. I remember ringing him up before the meeting when he was coming to speak to us. Diana Collins, his wife, was working with him. Sorry. And, it was a time of enormous activity. I rang and she answered, and one could hear all sorts of things going on in the background, and he just had one brief word with him, with me. I was asking him how he would like to conduct the meeting, and he said, I don't mind how you conduct it. I'll leave that to you. I'll just speak as you want me to speak. It was a very, very hectic time. And then there was a CND marches. I think it must have been, I went on the second one, I think in 1950. 59. They went to the second one in 59, just before we moved. Of course, it was at Easter, wasn't it? Just before we moved here up to Yorkshire. A very hectic time.
What was that like, being on an Aldermaston march, CND?
Oh, it was an exhilarating occasion. Yes, and one was carried away, too much emotionally carried away, if you weren't careful. I've described the walk-up Whitehall, in Trafalgar Square, these enormous crowd, and in Hyde Park, the tail of the procession still arriving when the meetings were almost finished. They were great days, and very inspiring and empowering days, I suppose, for the movement as a whole. Great numbers of people, all the banners, and, yes.
Yes, mentioning Canon Collins, yeah. Could you tell me something about him as a person?
I didn't know him personally, except on this one occasion when we had him out to a meal and he spoke. He was a fine speaker, a very well-organized person. He wasn't what you might call a Quakerly gentle person. He was a fairly tough and achieved results. It was wonderful.
There was, of course, trouble, wasn't there, between Canon Collins and Bertrand Russell.
Yes.
Over the direct action and Committee of 100.
That's right.
Yes. Well, did that have any sort of effect on your local organisation? Was there any sort of split, would you say, caused by that?
There was no split, no. No, there was no split. We were very sympathetic to Bertrand Russell and the Committee of 100, yes, we were, and followed their doings closely. But we didn't take part in the local group. No, we held together. Simply, the problem only was manpower to keep the thing going. The impetus we had set it. There was a Methodist minister who spoke to us once, I remember, about his problems on Armistice Day, how he was required by virtue of his office as Methodist minister to take part in the armistice service, but he was part of our movement, and he felt that he had more or less achieved a reasonable compromise and kept his hands clean on that occasion. And there were one or two others. It was a good group. We used to fill the room, I think, somehow, and we had no problems in renting a room in the shower hall, as I remember it. That was good. And our posters, we had a little difficulty over fly posting. Somebody in too much enthusiasm as on fly posted our posters, and that was not popular. It was a pity that.
Yes. Did you find that, you know, as the sort of 60s developed, that the enthusiasm waned for CND, the anti-war? You know, were there any sort of...
Oh, yes. In 1959, we moved up to Yorkshire, and so we were in a completely new scene. There was no group here. But Elmer and I were much involved with our jobs and with our families at that time, and we're less involved. But one of the things which we were aware of was, first of all, the building of Fylingdale's radar station, whatever it was called. That was on the moors, which I knew so well as a child, Fylingdale's moors near Scarborough, and it was both a personal and a distressing to me, and also in the peace angle it was distressing to me. When Sir George Pepler, was it, who was deputed by the government to report on the proposal to establish the Fylingdale's early warning system, and he reported in favour of it. He had Quaker connections, and it was sad that he found it necessary to report that way, but he was doing his job as a civil servant. And his son was, in fact, my immediate boss in County Hall at Lincoln. He was a deputy county clerk.
Was there any sort of protest movement against Fylingdale?
I don't remember any at that time, no. There must have been, but I don't remember it.
Yes. So could you tell me about the sort of reawakening of the sort of your peace activity, you know, having waned a bit in the 60s for the reasons you've outlined?
Yes. Well, we're getting on to the late 70s now. There was a big gap there, wasn't there? It's surprising how there was such a gap. We were following the news all the time, but we weren't, we didn't see what we could do. The next thing that came along, I think, was the Menwith Hill early warning system, which is only about 15 miles from here, between here and Harrogate, with its golf balls, just like at Fylingdale's. And we began to protest about this. Just the order of events at that time, I don't know, but in 1981... a group of us here in the village came together, and there had been that film, The War Game. Had it been banned by the BBC? I think it had. And we showed it in the village, and we publicized it well, and it was remarkable how we filled the town hall, 220 people, which was really a remarkable achievement. All sorts and conditions of local people came to see this film. And arising out of that, we established a local peace group. We called another public meeting for those who wanted to form a peace group, and it was not 220 people, much smaller, but enough to show that there was a need for a peace group. And so from that time we progressed with our activities as a peace group.
Would this have been CND still?
It began as an anti-nuclear weapon group, but from the start we set our faces against affiliating to CND. There was quite a bit of pressure on us to affiliate, but we decided not to. This is a very conservative or traditional neighbourhood. We have a conservative MP, and we felt that it was much more likely to attract support locally if we kept entirely as an independent group, and we've done that ever since in our local peace group, and I'm sure that has paid off. It's been much, much better. It has enabled us to diversify our activities and also made us able to say to people, oh yes, so you're only commies, you're only CND. We've been able to say, no, we're not CND, we're independent.
And what sort of support do you have in an area, as you say, a conservative area like Grassington?
It's really wonderful how it's grown. Right from the start, yes, we had, I think we've never dropped below a hard, active core of perhaps 20, 25 people. We're dropping again now, but our mailing list and our fringe has grown and grown over the years. It's really very remarkable how you keep finding people who perhaps don't want to be active members of the group. A lot of people don't, but they're with us in spirit, either in one activity or another. And that number has grown over the years. And I really think that we're a stronger group. We're one of the strongest groups in Yorkshire, I'm sure. And we keep hearing people who know about the Grassington Peace Group. We've become famous within the small sphere of Yorkshire anyway as the group which has remained active and the biggest group there is. Far bigger for our local population than in proportion than in most towns. I reckon that here we're drawing on a population of 2,000 people or just over, only about that in the whole of the Upper Dale. We cover the whole of the Upper Dale of Wharfdale, and Grassington itself has about 1,200 people, and taking all the rest of the villages together, about 2,000, and out of that we have a mailing list of 70 or 80 and an active group of 20 or so, which is pretty good by comparison with elsewhere, I think. And it's been really a heartwarming group. It's been a support to us, ourselves, and I know it's been a support to many other people who felt isolated in the community.
So setting up a peace group, I'm wondering, you've explained about getting hold of the war game and showing that and getting a sort of response to that and not affiliating with CND. But do you actually have sort of a membership? Do people pay to belong to this peace group?
Yes, we have a membership of a very low sub of £1 or £2 a year. We depend mainly on donations by people who are active in it. We've never had problems with money at all, never. And we've always been able to give quite a lot away to other kindred organisations. Yes, we have a membership, but we also have a mailing list which extends beyond the actual membership. And like the mailing list of many organisations, we have to keep pruning it because people join it or drop away and lose interest or become interested.
Yes, so how much of your time has this taken? Because it would seem from what you're saying that it was you and Elmer who set this up and became the focus of it.
Well, we won't claim all the credit. No, there was one other person called Bob Wilkinson who was associated with us, and one or two others, I think, perhaps Don Wilcox, who still lives in the village. Bob moved away. He was a communist at that time, and that did something to get us some unpopularity in the local area because he was known communist. He was a trade union organizer, a lovely person, gentle person, and a born organizer. We ourselves felt that he was too much of an organizer. Even in the peace group, he was our first chairman, and Elmer was the first secretary. And I saw that was a rather crying partnership just in that particular dynamic, although personally we were close friends. But at a meeting, Bob would... his concern was to get a resolution through, even by a majority vote, whereas we, with our Quakerly background, weren't interested in that. We wanted consensus, and we weren't interested in resolutions as such. So there was some conflict, it would be real conflict, but some conflict of ideas and idealisms there. But it was good. It was okay. Eventually, he moved away, and so we things settled down more after our line of thought.
So having set up this peace group, and now you've been going for over 10 years, haven't
That's right.
you, from 1981,
yeah.
What have your main activities been? You know, how does one promote peace in an area like Grassington and keep people involved? What sort of activities?
Well, right through, we've aimed at a monthly public meeting. But latterly we haven't achieved that. But for a number of years, yes, we did have that. Sometimes in houses, in homes, and sometimes in a church hall in the town hall. It's all in each case we decided whether this is a house meeting type of speaker or a public meeting type of speaker, and we advertised it accordingly. And we've always used the local press, the Craven Herald, who's been very supportive, and I don't mean supportive, no, because the editor has not been supportive of us, but he's been interested in any local activities and been prepared to put our reports in. If we write a report, normally it goes in. What was your question again?
Yes, you know, wondering what activities you in the 10 years.
Yes.
And any sort of high spots or low spots?
Well, I think the other... Before I answer that again, can I say this, that we've depended very much on this line of thought that each of us, or many of us, have some special concern. And we've always thought it important that anybody with a special concern should receive the support of the group. The group as a whole might say, well, your concern isn't. We wouldn't put that at the top of our agenda. But thank goodness you're doing it. Thank goodness you feel called to do it and you're following your own conscience. And so the special concerns have been such things as a campaign against the arms trade, the straight anti-nuclear thing, and now anti-Trident. We have links with one of our members has a son who is active in the Barrow in Furness activities there. Links with Central and Eastern Europe, and to some extent with America. The Menwith Hill, have I mentioned Menwith Hill? Yes, I did. That has been quite a focus of our activities off and on throughout the time. Some of us have been to peace camps. Some visited them. Some of the women visited Greenham Common on a number of occasions. I myself, immediately I retired, the first thing I did was to spend a fortnight, I think, at Molesworth Peace Camp. There was a Quaker, so-called Quaker caravan there, and I took responsibility for this caravan for a period on several occasions.
What date would that have been, Richard?
That was, I'd been to Molesworth several times to some demonstration, but I first lived there in the caravan alone October, the end of October 1984. 1905. Yeah, that's right. When Molesworth was building up, the enormous millions of pounds were being spent there, and one was so appalled by this, one felt very emotionally involved in that. Yes.
Yes. What was it about Molesworth? You know, with Greenham Common, it was very much cruise missiles, wasn't it?
Was it? Yes.
So, what was it? What was it inside Molesworth?
Well, they were building up for as a cruise missile base. The fence was being erected, constantly strengthened, and the works going on inside the bunkers. And I remember they were erecting, at one stage they were erecting some huge gateway, and I got quite quite emotional about the Samson episode in the Bible, and I thought if only the peace movement could push this gate down like Samson pushed the gate of the temple down on the Israelites.